Let us pray. God, thank you for allowing us to be here this day. We are here not because of who we are, but because of everything about you. You see, some of us may have come in with worries, a broken heart, anxieties. God, I ask you that they don't hear my words, but they hear your words. They don't feel a touch from my voice, but they feel a touch from the voice of the Holy Spirit that brings unending peace and comfort into the lives of everyone, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. So we say thank you. Thank you. In your name, amen. A knock at midnight. This feels like an interesting time, right? Not just this time in service feels interesting, because it does. But it just feels like an interesting time in our lives. A knock at midnight is not my original idea or title. Not even the sermonic text that was read is not my idea. This comes from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He said this same sermon in August 1967, the same idea of the sermon. I'm not going to take completely his words. But the idea of the sermon, he said this in August 1967. And it's amazing how what he preached in August 1967, a knock at the door, and you can look it up on YouTube, I can actually play it right now, and it would make sense. Not only is that a testament to the prophetic voice of Dr. King, but I think that's also a powerful testament to the words of God. How the words of God are true yesterday, today, and forever. Something powerful about that. A knock at midnight. So during this, his speech, during his sermon, I listened to it over and over again. Sometimes I fell asleep with earbuds in my ears, and my wife looked at me and said, what are you doing? Just let me breathe it in, even in my sleep. One of the things he said, which was so true, and it even relates to today, he said, we are experiencing, and this is in August 1967, he said, we are experiencing such a darkness that we don't know which way to turn. We are experiencing such a darkness that we don't know which way to turn. That was in August 1967. In January 2017, almost 50 years later, this statement rings true today. Because we are experiencing such a darkness that we don't know which way to turn. We think we're doing something and getting rid of some of the darkness, but then we turn around and question, are we really doing anything? And then we walk towards the darkness just to shed a little bit of light on it, but then we question, is there any even enough light to be shed? Am I the only one who asks these questions? Because we are experiencing a deep darkness. But there's a knock at midnight. Midnight. Midnight is a special time for me. You're like, what do you do at midnight? But I remember the first time I stayed out past midnight. I was a freshman in college at Temple University. My cousin called me up and she said, listen, let's go out. I said, okay. We lost track of time. I got home about 2 a.m. I was commuting. I was living with my mother. And I remember the next day, before my mother could say anything, I went to her. I said, listen, I'm sorry. I lost track of time. She said, no, you're old enough. You're old enough to stay out past midnight. But just remember to check in with me because things happen at midnight. This is midnight. Midnight is the darkest time of the day. The darkest time of the day. It's between dusk and dawn. This is midnight. This isn't the first time nor the last time that midnight is mentioned in biblical text. In fact, one example is in Acts chapter 16 in the middle of the chapter. When Paul and Silas are walking around, and a girl, a slave girl, who has a spirit of prophecy and fortune telling within her. So Paul, I'm speeding up the text. So Paul and Silas are walking, and this slave girl is walking behind them. And every time she sees Paul and Silas, she says, "Here are the servants of the Most High God. They are here to save you." So Paul and Silas are walking, and she's running behind them. "Here are the servants of the Most High God, and they are here to save you. Here are the servants of..." So she keeps repeating this. In some texts, it says just this plainly. Paul becomes annoyed. And Paul turns around, looks at her, and doesn't really talk to her, but speaks to the spirit inside of her and commands the spirit of fortune-telling to come out of her. So then the people who own this slave girl become upset. "You've just messed up our money. This is how we make our money." So they beat Paul and Silas and throw them in jail. Their hands and ankles are chained together. But there's a knock at midnight. So their hands and ankles are chained together. They're in jail and the door closes. Psh! But there's a knock at midnight. So right about midnight, which is the darkest time of the day, all of a sudden, Paul and Silas begin to praise God and begin to sing because there's a knock at midnight. I don't know if you've been chained to anything, whether it's worry or insecurity or depression or anxiety. I don't know if you've ever been chained to the pain of your past and you feel like you've just come across midnight. And you feel like you don't know what to do and how to get these chains off of you. Well, Paul and Silas begin to praise God at midnight. And then this violent earthquake happens. The earth starts to shake. And their chains fall off of them. Because there's a knock at midnight. Their chains fall off of them and the doors to the jail cells open. Because there's a knock at midnight. You see, the midnight that Paul and Silas experience, maybe it was exactly 12 a.m. Maybe. Because there is a physical midnight, 11:59, 12 a.m., end of the new day, start of the next day. But there's also a spiritual midnight. A spiritual midnight happens when you question, "Am I going to continue to suffer?" See, the world is going through a midnight in its darkest period. But sometimes we personally go through that. And when you experience a spiritual midnight, you wonder, is suffering going to keep meeting me at my breakfast table? You wonder, is suffering going to keep talking to me in my ear throughout the day? You wonder, when I put my key through this door of my house, is suffering going to greet me there? A spiritual midnight is when you have your back against the wall and you don't know what else to do. Have you ever experienced a spiritual midnight? A spiritual midnight so dark that you don't even recognize yourself in this darkness. You wonder, how am I going to change things? What am I going to do? My life wasn't supposed to be this way. Have you ever experienced a spiritual midnight? When the family and friends you once counted on, you can't even touch them anymore. Have you ever experienced a spiritual midnight? When you wonder, when is my suffering going to end and my joy will begin? But I'm here to encourage you that there's always a knock at midnight. So the biblical text that was read before you, what's interesting, there are two people in that text. There's the one knocking, and then there's the one answering. Let's talk about the one knocking for a minute. Have you ever received a knock on your door at midnight? Has anyone ever knocked on your door at midnight? I've had this happen 4 times in my life. And it's never been someone who said, "Hey, I just want to laugh and joke and play." It's never been like that. "Hey, I just want to see if you want to watch the new episode of whatever on Netflix at midnight." It's never like that. The four times that it's happened in my life, it's been because someone has been in such need that they didn't know where else to turn. And usually, most of the time, what they've said is, I was sitting there and I was wondering, should I even knock on your door? And I went through all of that and I decided there's no place else I can go, so I'm knocking on your door at midnight. So the person who is knocking on the door at midnight, they're desperate. They're not even knocking for themselves, they're knocking for a friend. Because this friend has traveled and arrived at their house at midnight. You know, sometimes when people go through something, the only thing you could do sometimes is offer them food. I've had people knock on my door at midnight and I can't take away their pain and their sorrow, but the only thing I can offer is, do you want something to eat? So this person that's knocking on the door at midnight, the only thing he can offer is bread. Do you have bread? That's all I can do for my friend who's traveled so far and arrived at my house at midnight. I just need some bread from you. I'm desperate because I can't do anything else for my friend. That's why I'm knocking on your door at midnight. So let's talk about the privileged person in this text. It's the person who is trying to decide whether they want to help or not. That's the privileged person. Have you ever walked down the street, I'm sure you have, and someone has asked you for change, and in your mind you're trying to decide whether you want to give it to them? In that moment, you are privileged. This person is desperate. Doesn't matter what they want to use it for, but this person is desperate. And in their desperation, you're trying to decide whether it is enough need to give them the few of what you have, which is many. But there's a knock at midnight. So this person that's trying to decide whether they want to answer the door, you know the first thing they tell them? Do you know what I do at midnight? My children are in bed. The door is locked. I am not getting up. This person tells them their agenda. Because this is what they're used to doing in the darkness. You're interrupting what I do when it gets dark. Have you ever been so upset in your own personal darkness as somebody tries to make you laugh? And you get mad because all you can think is, no, that is not what I want to do in my darkness. You're interrupting my agenda of how I usually like to respond in my darkness. I want to be angry right now. So this is actually what this guy did. Or woman, we don't know the gender. What this person does. So this person tells the agenda of what they usually do in their darkness. You know, sometimes when darkness happens, we adapt the agenda of the darkness. So this is what I mean. After Trump was elected, the next day I went to work. Of course, I was upset. I'm not going to pretend like I wasn't. But the next day I went to work, and people were coming to me as I saw, are you okay? Are you taking care of yourself? And I'm like, my mother passed away 3 years ago, and this is the same response that I received. And that was bigger than this. That was bigger than this. And I asked them, well, why wouldn't I be okay? Because I'm not. I don't know what to do. I said, you're responding to the darkness. You're allowing darkness to give you an agenda. So what if you just sat for one moment and figured out how to bring light into this situation? Because the more darkness gives you an agenda, the more it pulls you in, whether you know it or not, whether you see it or not. It pulls you in more to how it's responding than how God is responding. So this person gives the agenda. And then is trying to decide, I don't know if I want to open the door. But there's a knock at midnight. There's darkness going on right now. You can see it in the violence. You can see it in the political climate. You see the darkness. You see it in the way we discard our fellow human beings. Whether it's the person that has an addiction or a mental health challenge. Whether it's the person that happens to be homeless. Whether it's the trans sex worker where we don't understand, so we're just going to ignore them and get rid of them. There is darkness happening in our world. But are you going to live out your agenda through this darkness? Are you going to live out God's agenda? And in me saying this, I'm going to tell you something. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. But I have to say what the Holy Spirit has told me to say, which is this. It's that sometimes we become comfortable in who we're helping, in the situation we're helping, in the experience that we're helping. And in that being comfortable, maybe God has called you to help another group of people, a different situation. But we're so used to responding in the way that we help. Well, I'm over here helping this situation, so I don't have time to help over there. But that's where God is calling you. And you don't want to go help over here because it's a little uncomfortable. And I'm more comfortable right here in this helping situation. I'm able to help these people better. But if God is calling you someplace else to help, then that's the way God wants you to deal with the darkness. You know, one of my goals this year is to not figure out how I feel when God asks me to do something. Because that's what I did last year. If I felt a movement of God to tell me to go over here and help, I would sit there and go, well, how do I feel about this? Do I even have time to do this? I'm trying to build this, and how are you telling me to go over here and do this? And it even seems impossible. It's not about the way how I feel. It's about God's agenda. Because in this darkness, it's about God's agenda. August 1967. A young black man was shot from robbing a camera store. In that summer, there were a number of, I was shot by a police officer. There were a number of race riots that happened that year, that summer. In June and July, before Dr. King gave that sermon. Also, the Vietnam War was happening. Also, several civil rights leaders had been killed that year. Does this sound familiar? It's almost 50 years later, and it seems like we're repeating the same thing. But there's a knock at midnight. So what does this mean? When people come to me and say, I don't know what we're going to do. How are we going to respond to this? And this is over, and this is... We have to remember we're a continuation of humanity. God didn't all of a sudden plop us here. And we're still here because people in the year of 1967 responded to that knock at midnight. So we have to continue to respond to the knock at midnight. I know it's hurtful. I know it's tiring. I know it's confusing. I know it's some other words that I'm not going to say in a sermon. But we have to keep responding to the knock at midnight. Because this is what I know, just from my personal life and from reading the Bible, is that the greatest blessings and the greatest breakthroughs sometimes come at our darkest moments. It sometimes comes at the knock at midnight.